Plate.com. Make affordable crowd-pleasing meals at home. Choose from 14 delicious and affordable recipes that change every week. Everything you need is shipped to your door. Home-cooked deliciousness, nearly in 30 minutes. Save time and skip tedious trips to the grocery store. Save money and enjoy tasty dinners that won't break the bank at only $4.99 per serving. Easy-to-cook recipes that only six simple steps and will turn you into a chef. And you can skip or cancel anytime. Some of the meals are sweet chili chicken, super smash burgers, balsamic glazed pork chops, Tuscan pork meatballs, crispy blue chicken, cheese chicken, chicken sausage meatball soup, sausage chicken and pepper stir fry, garlic and white sauce, flatbreads, caramelized onion meatloaf, loaded baked potato chowder, creamy chicken sausage penne and black bean and pepper, jack tostadas, chili garlic soup, crispy chickpea couscous, 6 chicken breasts, ground beef, and 4 chicken breasts. Just select this recipe after signing up. Recommended by 9,000 families. Break the cycle of boring. Good morning. Today's flow of the story is Anna Eleanor Roosevelt, Part 1. Anna Eleanor Roosevelt, October 11, 1884 to November 7, 1962, was an American political figure, diplomat, and activist. She was the first lady of the United States from 1933 to 1945 during her husband, President Franklin D. Roosevelt's 4 terms in office, making her the longest serving first lady of the United States. Through her travels, public engagement, and advocacy, she largely retreated, defined the role of first lady. Roosevelt then served as a United States delegate to the United Nations General Assembly from 1945 to 1952, and in 1948 she was given a standing ovation by the Assembly upon their adoption of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. President Harry S. Truman later called her the First Lady of the World in tribute to her human rights achievements. Roosevelt was a member of the prominent American Roosevelt and Livingston families, and a niece of President Theodore Roosevelt. She had an unhappy childhood, having suffered the deaths of both parents and one of her brothers at a young age. At 15, she attended Allenswood Boarding Academy in London and was deeply influenced by its headmistress, Marie Sylvester. Returning to the U.S., she married her fifth cousin, once removed, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, in 1905. The Roosevelt's marriage was complicated from the beginning by Franklin's controlling mother, Sarah, and after Eleanor discovered her husband's affair with Lucy Mercer in 1918, she resolved to seek fulfillment. In leading a public life of her own, she helped persuade Franklin to stay in politics even after he was stricken with a paralytic illness in 1921. Much accustomed to normal use of his legs, as she began giving speeches and appearing at campaign events in his place following Franklin's election as governor of New York in 1928 and throughout the remainder of Franklin's public career in government. Roosevelt regularly made public appearances on his behalf, and as First Lady, while her husband served as president, she significantly reshaped and redefined the role. Though widely respected in her later years, Roosevelt was a controversial First Lady at the time of her outspokenness, particularly on civil rights for African Americans. She was the first presidential spouse to hold regular press conferences, write a daily newspaper column, write a monthly magazine column, host a weekly radio show, and speak at a national party convention. On a few occasions, she publicly disagreed with her husband's policies. She launched an experimental community at Arthur Dell, West Virginia, for the families of unemployed miners, later widely regarded as a failure. She advocated for expanded roles for women in the workplace, the civil rights of African Americans and Asian Americans, and the rights of World War II refugees following her husband's death in 1945. Roosevelt remained active in politics for the remaining 17 years of her life. She pressed the United States to join and support the United Nations and became its first delegate. She served as the first chair of the UN Commission on Human Rights and oversaw the drafting of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. Later, she chaired with John F. Kennedy administration for Presidential Commission on the Status of Women. By the time of her death, Roosevelt was regarded as one of the most esteemed women in the world. The New York Times called her the object of almost universal respect in her obituary. In 1999, she was ranked 9th in the top 10 of Gallup's list of all most widely admired people in the 20th century and was found to rank as the most admired woman in 13 different years between 1948 and 1961. In Gallup's annual Most Admired Woman poll, periodic surveys conducted by the Siena College Research Institute have consistently seen historians assess Roosevelt as the greatest American First Lady. Personal life, early life. Anna Eleanor Roosevelt was born on October 11, 1884 in Manhattan, New York City to socialite Anna Rebecca Holland Elliott Roosevelt. From an early age, she preferred to be called by her middle name Eleanor. Through her father, she was a niece of President Theodore Roosevelt. Through her mother, she was a niece of tennis champions Valentine Gill Valley Hall III and Edward Ludlow Hall. Her mother nicknamed her Granny because she acted in such a serious manner as a child and emotionally rejected Eleanor and was also somewhat ashamed of her daughter's alleged plainness. Roosevelt had two younger brothers, Elliot Jr. and Hall. She also had a half-brother, Elliot Roosevelt Mann. Through her father's affair with Katie Mann, a servant employed by the family, Roosevelt was born into a world of immense wealth and privilege as her family was part of New York high society called the Swells. On May 19, 1887, the two-year-old Roosevelt was on board the SS Britannic with her father, mother, and Aunt Tissy when it collided with White Star liner SS Celtic. She was lowered into a lifeboat and she and her parents were taken to the Celtic and returned to New York. After this traumatic event, Eleanor was afraid of ships and the sea all her life. Her mother died from diphtheria on December 7, 1892, and Elliot Jr. died the same disease the following May. Her father, an alcoholic confined to a sanitarium, died on August 14, 1894, after jumping from a window during a fit of delirium tremens. He survived the fall but died from a seizure. Roosevelt's childhood losses left her prone to depression throughout her life. Her brother Hall later suffered from alcoholism. Before her father died, he implored her to act as a mother towards Hall, and it was a request she made good upon for the rest of Hall's life. Roosevelt doted on Hall, and when he enrolled at Gordon School in 1907, she accompanied him as a chaperone while he was attending Gordon. She wrote him almost daily, but always felt a touch of guilt that Hall had not had a fuller childhood. She took pleasure in Hall's brilliant performance at school and was proud of his many academic accomplishments, which included a master's degree in engineering from Harvard. After the death of her parents, Roosevelt was raised in the household of her maternal grandmother, Mary Livingston Ludlow Hall of the Livingston family in Tivoli, New York. As a child, she was insecure and starved for affection and considered herself the ugly duckling. However, Roosevelt wrote at 14 that one's crosses in life were not totally dependent on physical beauty. No matter how plain a woman may be, if truth and loyalty are stamped upon her face, I will be attracted to her. Roosevelt was tutored privately and with the encouragement of her aunt, Anna Amy Roosevelt, she was sent to Ellsworth Academy at the age of 15. Private finishing school in Wimbledon, London, England, where she was educated from 1899 to 1902. The headmistress Marie Silvestre was a noted educator who sought to cultivate independent thinking in young women. Silvestre took a special interest in Roosevelt, who learned to speak French fluently and gained self-confidence. Roosevelt and Silvestre maintained a correspondence until March 1905 when Silvestre died, and after this, Roosevelt placed Silvestre's portrait on her desk and brought her letters with her. Roosevelt's first cousin, Corinne Douglas Robinson, who first term at Allenswood, overlapped with Roosevelt's last, said that when she arrived at school, Roosevelt was everything at the school. She was beloved by everybody. Roosevelt wished to continue at Allenswood, but she was summoned home by her grandmother in 1902 to make her social debut. At age 17, in 1902, Roosevelt completed her formal education and returned to the United States. She was admitted as a debutante ball at the Waldorf Astoria Hotel on December 14. She was later given her own coming out party. She said of her debut in a public discussion once, it was simply awful. It was a beautiful party, of course, but I was so unhappy because a girl who comes out is so utterly miserable if she does not know all the young people. Of course, I had been so long abroad that I had lost touch with all the girls I used to know in New York. I was miserable through all that. Roosevelt was attracted with the New York Junior League shortly after its founding, teaching dancing and calisthenics in the East slums. The organization had been brought to Roosevelt's attention by a friend. Organization founder Mary Harriman and a male relative who criticized the group for drawing young women into public activity. Roosevelt was a lifelong Episcopalian, regularly attending services and very familiar with the New Testament. Dr. Harold Ivan Smith states that she was very public about her faith in hundreds of my day, and if you ask me, calms, she addressed issues of faith, prayer, and the Bible. Marriage and family life. In the summer of 1902, Roosevelt encountered her father's fifth cousin, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, on a train to Tivoli, New York. The two began a secret correspondence and romance and became engaged in November. On November 22, 1903, Franklin's mother, Sarah Ann Delano, opposed the union and made him promise that the engagement would not be officially announced for a year. "I know what pain I must have caused you," he wrote to his mother of his decision. However, he added, "I know my own mind, and I know it for a long time, and I know that I could never think otherwise." Sarah took her son on the Caribbean cruise in 1904, hoping that a separation would squelch the romance, but Franklin remained determined. The wedding date was set to accommodate President Theodore Roosevelt, who was scheduled to be in New York City for a St. Patrick's Day parade, and who agreed to give the bride away. The couple married on March 17, 1905, in a wedding officiated by Endicott Peabody, the groom's headmaster of Groton School. Her cousin Corinne Douglas Roosevelt was a bridesmaid. The marriage took place in New York City. Theodore Roosevelt's attendance at the ceremony was front page news in the New York Times and other newspapers. Then, when asked for his thoughts on the Roosevelt Union, the president said, it is a good thing to keep the name in the family. The couple spent a preliminary honeymoon of 1 week at Hyde Park, and then set up housekeeping in an apartment in New York. That summer, they went on their formal honeymoon, a three-month tour of Europe. Returning to the U.S., Adelia settled in New York City, in a New York City house that was provided by Franklin's mother, as well as in a second residence at the family's estate, overlooking the Hudson River in Hyde Park, New York. From the beginning, Roosevelt had a contentious relationship with his controlling mother-in-law. The townhouse that Sarah gave to them was connected to her own residence by sliding doors, and Sarah ran both households in the decade of the marriage. Early on, Roosevelt had a breakdown in which she explained to Franklin that I did not like to live in a house which was not in any way mine, one that I had done nothing about and which did not represent the way I wanted to live. But little changed. Sarah also sought to control the raising of her grandchildren, and Roosevelt reflected later that Franklin's children were more my mother-in-law's children than they were mine. Roosevelt's eldest son, James, remembered Sarah telling her grandchildren, "Your mother only bore you. I am more your mother than your mother is." Roosevelt and Franklin had six children, Anna Eleanor Roosevelt, 1906 to 1975, James Roosevelt II, 1907 to 1991, Franklin Roosevelt, 1909 to 1909, Elliot Roosevelt, 1910 to 1990, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, Jr., 1914 to 1988, John Aspinwall Roosevelt, 1916 to 1981. Roosevelt disliked having sex with her husband. She once told her daughter, Anna, that it was an ordeal to be born. She also considered herself ill-suited to motherhood, later writing, "It did not come natural to me to understand little children or to enjoy them." In September 1980, Roosevelt was unpacking one of Franklin's suitcases when she discovered a bundle of love letters to him from her social secretary, Lucy Mercer. He had been contemplating leaving his wife for Mercer. However, following pressure from his political advisor, Louise Howe, and from his mother, who threatened to disinherit Franklin if he followed through with the divorce, the couple remained married. Their union from that point on was more of a political partnership. Disillusioned, Roosevelt again became active in public life and focused increasingly on her social work rather than her role as a wife. In August 1921, the family vacationed at Campobello Island, New Brunswick, Canada, when Franklin was diagnosed with paralytic disease, illness at the time believed to be polio. During the illness, through her nursing care, Roosevelt probably saved Franklin from death. His legs remained permanently paralyzed. When the extent of his disability became clear, Roosevelt fought a protracted battle with her mother-in-law over his future, persuading him to stay in politics. Despite serious urges, he retired and became a country gentleman. Franklin's attending physician, Dr. William King, commended Roosevelt's devotion to be stricken to the stricken Franklin during the time of his travail. You have been a rare wife and have borne your heavy burden most bravely, he said, proclaiming her one of my heroines. This proved the turning point in Eleanor Sayre's long-running struggle. And as Eleanor's public role grew, she increasingly broke from Sarah's control. Tensions between Sarah and Eleanor over her new political friends rose to the point that the family considered the cause at Valkill, in which Eleanor and her guests lived when Franklin and the children were away from Hyde Park. Roosevelt herself named the place Valkill, loosely translated as a waterfall stream, from the Dutch language common to the original European settlers of the area. Franklin encouraged his wife to develop this property as a place where she could implement some of her ideas for work with winter jobs for rural workers and women. Each year, when Roosevelt held a picnic at Valkill for delinquent boys, her granddaughter Eleanor Roosevelt Seagraves assisted her. She was close to her grandmother throughout her life. Seagraves concentrated her career as an educator and lover on keeping alive many of the causes Eleanor Roosevelt began and supported. In 1924, Eleanor campaigned for Democrat Alfred E. Smith in his successful re-election bid as governor of New York State against the Republican nominee, her first cousin Theodore Roosevelt Jr. Theodore Jr. never forgave her. Eleanor's aunt, Annie Beamy Roosevelt Cowles, publicly broke with her after the election. She wrote to her niece, "I just hate to have Eleanor let herself look as she does, though never hasn't she always had me a charming effect. She always had to be a charming effect, but alas and lackaday, since politics have become her choices. Interest, all her charm has disappeared." Roosevelt dismissed Beamy's criticism by referring to her as an aged woman. However, Beamy and Roosevelt eventually reconciled. Theodore's elder daughter Alice also broke with Roosevelt over her campaign. Alice and her cousin reconciled after the latter wrote Alice a comforting letter upon the death of Alice's daughter Paulina Longworth. Roosevelt and her daughter Anna became estranged after she took over some of her mother's social duties at the White House. The relationship was further strained because Roosevelt desperately wanted to go with her husband to Yalta in February 1945, 2 months before FDR's death, but he took Anna instead. A few years later, the two were able to reconcile and recuperate on numerous projects and to take care of her mother when she was terminally ill in 1962. Roosevelt, some earlier, authored numerous books, including a mystery series in which his mother was the detective. However, these murder mysteries were researched and written by William Harrington. They continued until Harrington's death in 2010, years of Elliot's death, with James Burrell. Elliot also wrote a highly personal book about his parents called The Roosevelts of Hyde Park, an untold story in which he revealed details about the sexual lives of his parents, including a father's relationship with Mrs. Lucy Mercer and Secretary Margaret Missy Lehan, as well as graphic details surrounding the illness that crippled his father. Published in 1973, the biography also contains valuable insights into FDR's run for vice president, his rise to governorship of New York, and his capture of the presidency in 1932, particularly with the help of Lewis Howe. When Elliot published the book in 1973, Franklin Delano Roosevelt Jr. led the family's denunciation of him. The book was fiercely repudiated by all Elliot siblings. Another of his siblings, James, published My Parents Are Differing View with Bill Libby, 1976, which is written in part as a response to Elliot's book, a sequel to An Untold Story with James Burrell. Published in 1975, entitled A Rendezvous with Destiny, carried the Roosevelt saga to the end of World War II. Mother R. Eleanor Roosevelt until Stuart also withdrew. Was published in 1977. Eleanor Roosevelt with Love, a Centenary Remembrance came out in 1984. Other relationships. Eleanor had a close relationship with her aunt Maud Livingston Hall, the younger sister of Eleanor's mother. Maud was only 6 years older than Eleanor, and the two grew up together in the home of Maud's mother, Eleanor's grandmother. Their relationship was more like sisters than aunt and niece. After Maud divorced their first husband, the champion pole fairy Lawrence Waterbury, in 1912, she married the liberal and novelist David Gray in 1914. In a small ceremony attended by only by Eleanor and the Roosevelt family lawyer John M. Hackett, the couple maintained a close relationship with Eleanor and FDR, and Eleanor was in successfully advocating for David Gray's appointment as United States Minister to Ireland, a post he held during World War II from 1940 to 1947. In the 1930s, Roosevelt had a very close relationship with aviator Amelia Earhart, 1897 to 1937. One time, the two snuck out from White House and went to a party dressed up for the occasion. After flying with Earhart, Roosevelt obtained a student permit but did not further pursue plans to learn to fly. Franklin was not in favor of his wife becoming a pilot. Nevertheless, the two women communicated frequently throughout their lives. Roosevelt also had a close relationship with Associate Press AP reporter Lorena Hitchcock, 1893 to 1968, and who covered her during the last months of the presidential campaign and fell madly in love with her. During this period, Roosevelt wrote daily 10 to 15 page letters to Hick, who was planning to write a biography of the First Lady. The letters included such endearments as, "I want to put my arms around you and kiss you at the corner of your mouth, and I can't kiss you, so I kiss your picture goodnight and good morning." At Franklin's 1933 inauguration, Roosevelt wore a sapphire ring Hitchcock had given her. FBI Director J. Edgar Hoover despised Roosevelt's liberalism, her stance regarding civil rights, and criticism of Hoover's surveillance tactics by both her and her husband, and so Hoover maintained a large file on Roosevelt, which the filmmakers of the biopic J. Edgar 2011 indicate included compromised evidence of this relationship with which Hoover intended to blackmail Roosevelt. Compromise of a reporter, Hitchcock soon resigned her position with the AP to be closer to Roosevelt, who secured a job as an investigator for a New Deal program. There is considerable debate about whether or not Roosevelt had a sexual relationship with Hitchcock. It was known in the White House press for at the time that Hitchcock was a lesbian. Scholars, including Lillian Faderman and Hazel Rowley, have asserted that there was a physical component to the relationship, but Hitchcock biographer Doris Faber has argued that their insinuated phrases have misled historians. Doris Curtis Goodwin stated in her 1994 Pulitzer Prize-winning account of the Roosevelts that whether Hick and Eleanor went beyond kisses and hugs could not be determined with certainty. Eleanor was close friends with several lesbian couples such as Nancy Cook and Marion Dickerman, and Esther Lape and Esther Fisher Reed. And Elizabeth Fisher Reed, suggesting that she understood lesbianism. Marie Silvestre, Roosevelt's childhood teacher, had a great influence on her later thinking, was also a lesbian. Faber published some of Roosevelt and Hitchcock correspondence in 1980, but concluded that the love-struck phrasing was simply an unusually belated schoolgirl crush, and warned historians not to be misled. Researcher Lena J. Rupp criticized Faber's argument, calling her book a case study in homophobia, and argued that Faber unwillingly presented page after page of evidence that delayed the growth and development of a love affair between two women. In 1992, Roosevelt biographer Blanche Weeson Cook argued that the relationship was in fact romantic, generating national attention. A 2011 essay by Russell Baker reviewing the two new Roosevelt biographies in the New York Review of Books, Franklin and Eleanor, and Extraordinary Marriage by Hazel Rowley and Eleanor Roosevelt, transformed the First Lady by Maureen H. Buse, stated that the Hitchcock relationship was indeed erotic, now seems beyond dispute concerning what is known about the letters they exchanged. In the same year, Washington Gossip linked Roosevelt romantically with New Deal Administrator Harry Hopkins, with whom she worked closely. Roosevelt had a close relationship with New York State This Sergeant Earl Mill, who was assigned by the President to be her bodyguard, Roosevelt was 44 years old when she met Miller, 32. In 1929, he became her friend as well as her official escort, teaching her different sports such as diving and riding, and coached her in tennis. Biographer Blanche Weason Cook writes that Miller was Roosevelt's first romantic involvement in her middle years. Hazel Rowley concludes there is no doubt that Eleanor was in love with Earl for a time, but they are most unlikely to have had an affair. Roosevelt's friendship with Miller occurred at the same time that her husband had a rumored relationship with sex aunt Margaret Missy Lehan. Smith writes, remarkably, both E.R. and Franklin recognized, accepted, and encouraged her encouraged her arrangement. Eleanor and Franklin were strong-willed people who cared greatly for each other's happiness, but realized their own inability to provide for it. Roosevelt and Miller's relationship is said to have continued until her death in 1962. They are thought to have corresponded daily, but all letters have been lost. According to rumor, the letters were anonymously purchased and destroyed or locked away when she died. Roosevelt was a longtime friend of Carrie Chapman Catt and gave her the Chi Omega Award at the White House in 1941. Anti-Semitism. Eleanor Roosevelt in private showed a revulsion against rich Jews in 1918, telling her mother-in-law the Jew Party was appalling. I never wished to hear money, jewels, or sables mentioned again. When she became co-owner of the Tannhauser School in New York City, a limited number of Jews were admitted. Most students were upper-class Protestants, and Roosevelt said that the spirit of the school would be different if we had too large a proportion of Jewish children. She said the problem is not quantity but quality, since Jews were very unlike ourselves and had not yet become Americans enough. Her anti-Semitism gradually declined, especially as her friendship with Bernard Baruch grew after World War II. She became a staunch champion of Israel, in which she admired for his commitment to New Deal values. Thank you for listening to this first part of First Lady Eleanor Roosevelt. Stay tuned for part two of this three-part episode. Have a good week and stay safe.